This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning, 9:37 a.m. Thursday, the 23rd of April. And before we get into our next story, let's take a quick look at what the markets look like this morning.
Still in the green, the FBM Bursa Malaysia KLCI is up 0.96% to 1394. So is the rest of the region. In terms of the top value stocks, Solarvest is, well, now top of the board with 18 million ringgit traded up 4.66% to 1 ringgit and 1 cent. Another glove player, Supermax, is up 6% to 2 ringgit and 27 cents with 18 million ringgit traded. So yeah, pretty a good day if you're a glove maker.
Indeed. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be talking about possible exit strategies for countries to emerge from their lockdowns with comments from Miguel Oliu Barton, Associate Professor at the University of Paris Dauphine, and Barry Pradelsky of the Oxford Man Institute at the University of Oxford. But right now, we're taking a look at the subject of Malaysia's shared prosperity vision, because the coronavirus outbreak has served a big blow to the economy, as many have either lost their jobs or are now unable to perform their usual functions. And in response to that, the government released an economic stimulus package involving one-off cash handouts of 10 billion ringgit to the B40 and M40.
Still, the economic impact slightly towards an inequality, as those who are more well-off will be able to weather this storm better. Now, recall last year, the then government announced a 10-year plan called the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. The official goal was to achieve sustainable growth along with fair and equitable distribution across income groups and the city's region and supply chains.
But as COVID-19 threatens to worsen inequality, will the measures in the stimulus package be sufficient to curb that? And should the shared prosperity plan be reconfigured to meet current circumstances? We turn now to Nizam Mashar, CEO of Institute Masa Depan Malaysia, which played a key role in drafting the SPV 2030, for some insight. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Nizam. So what are your thoughts on the economic stimulus packages we've seen so far?
Thank you, Lin. Thank you. What I'm seeing now is what have been done by the government is a necessary thing to be done. In the same while, I think the thought had been that, I think the first thought was more in terms of supporting the people's plight, giving the economic transfer, the welfare towards the more of the bottom 40. Then there's then they realized that they need to provide more support to the SMEs. So I think there's and this is after the response by the SMEs community towards, you know, reflecting what are happening to their businesses. In that, I think there should be more collaboration between and more communication between the peoples and the government, so that the stimulus package or the recovery plan is well thought of to look at not only resolving the immediate problems, but the midterm and long-term problems.
Now, you mentioned in the recent New Straits Times op-ed piece that handouts are somewhat short-sighted solution. So what else do you think can be done to actually help the most vulnerable in society?
I'm not quite sure if I did say short-sighted, but I think the government should be thinking not only to address the problem now, because some of the problems that we are having right now is we are very much dependent on low-skill labor. We are dependent on low-skills job too. And of course, this is the group that will be highly impacted in any sort of crisis. And this had been happening and growing in the last 10 years. So by knowing this is the configuration of our economy, I think we should be also looking into what are the possibilities beyond this recovery plan towards our vulnerable groups. So I think the planning should be here, and some of these offerings within the stimulus package should be geared towards not only getting them through the 2-3 months impact of this COVID-19, but beyond that, you know, we need probably to look at the work substitution programs and what kind of jobs that they can go into post this movement MCO. So These are the type of things. And even how can we move from 90% of our businesses are still micro and at nano level. What are the other things that we can do in terms of strengthening the supply chains so that they can then move up the value chain?
But zooming out to look at the wider economy as well, what are your thoughts on how we are going to ease out of this movement control order period? Do you have any thoughts on what an ideal recovery trajectory might look like?
On one part, I think the we need to look at the direction of this COVID impact. On one side, I see that the COVID will take somewhat longer period. It's not about the MCO alone. The impact will be this social distancing and the way that we work. So it shouldn't be stopping us from continuing our economy to ensure that the economy move on. What can be done, especially for bigger businesses or bigger outfits, that they can actually implement better SOPs in terms of the social distancing? I see, and we had experience, and we have complaints by businesses that they cannot conduct their businesses with some of the banks. The process is very slow, and that is also the same with a lot of these government entities. So how can business run if there are restrictions in the context of government, there are restrictions in the context of businesses? While this probably we need to strengthen the policies of working from home, deliveries of to ensure that some of these approvals, support that is supposed to be given to the SMEs, the workers, can be translated, and the transactions of economy can happen. So those kind of areas must happen and must continue to happen.
And Institute Master Depan, of which you are CEO, played a key role in shaping the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. So what is the status of the plan as it was launched by the previous administration? Do you know if it's going to continue, and if so, in what form?
I think numbers of the leadership, including Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, had mentioned that the new government will adopt the Shared Prosperity Vision. But in the same while, I do see that the dynamics has also changed. I think we are looking at different baseline now in terms of the economy. What is the impact to our SMEs, to our workers, to the income, the household, in terms of the transactions that is happening. So a lot of dynamic had changed. So in terms of the Shared Prosperity Vision, even though I think the aspiration can still be is still intact, but I think the mechanism to do it need to be relooked into. And this is the same with our 12 Malaysia Plan. I think the process of concluding the 12 Malaysia Plan is up to the final stage right now. Following it, they will be debating it in the parliament very soon. But I think both this vision and the 12 Malaysia Plan need to be relooked into, because we are looking into different dynamics and we are looking into different opportunities post this MCO or this COVID-19.
So Nizam, it's also easy to see how the gap between the haves and the have-nots is going to widen, has been widened during this COVID-19 pandemic and its induced recession. So what can the government do to mitigate that?
There are various mechanisms, and I think we need to look at the other opportunities. If you look at how Malaysia is managing the COVID right now, there's also this big opportunities that we are quite ahead of the game. On one side, we need to continue to manage the pandemic in the country, but if you see what is happening in the US, in Singapore, and even in our neighbor like Indonesia, they will, I believe they will take a longer time for them to in terms of recovery. And economically, it's an opportunity. If we can actually provide a more, meaning provide more better attraction to the investors, probably we can look into new areas of growth that we can build up our economy. And this will provide the better opportunities to, and probably to create a better high-skilled, knowledge-based workers, especially for the bottom 40s. Right now, we are only producing more of low-skilled works. And in the same while, this type of work, our local workers are competing with the foreign workers. So if you can look at a longer-term period, because there's no silver bullet solution, there's no short-term solutions to anything. We need to look at what would be our plan for mid-term and long-term, and hopefully this can help to manage our inequality.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Nizam. That was Nizam Mashar of Institute Masa Depan, one of the key players in drafting the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. Encouraging to hear from him that at least this SPV will be tweaked to better reflect this new situation that we find ourselves in this COVID-19 world.
Yeah, we need to maintain the spirit of it because some of the values on which it was designed do still make a lot of sense. But the question is the mechanism, right? So mm-hmm. as a country, are we brave enough for a reset to maybe relook at some of the structural issues as a country we have faced for the last two decades? The question is, are we going to be more productive with higher paying jobs, a move towards automation, things like that? I think this is an opportunity to really look at these issues more seriously at hand.
So let's hope that we do start to see a little bit more of this tweaking happening and relooks at the existing policies in place. But right now, we have some messages for you. And up next, we're taking a look at possible exit strategies for countries to emerge from their lockdowns. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.